one of the things that didn't happen, Judith and Carol, as you were writing Goddess and God in the World, you didn't call me up and ask me to contribute a couple chapters. And I think that could have been fruitful because it could have given you someone else to be on the other side. But since you didn't, perhaps if I share with you my theological outlooks at this point in my life, we can achieve more commonality between you. One of the things that I believe is that this divine spirit thing that we reference as God or goddess, that the conception we have of it is inherently limited, and that it need not fit any easy categorization we have. Descriptions that we see as mutually exclusive or oppositional need not be so in reality, because reality can and often does exceed our narrow perceptions. In this way, and mind you, I come from a science background, including having taught physics at the university level, so there is, as a parallel, the question of whether light is a particle or a wave, or maybe something else. Light, when you look at some of its behavior, has the characteristics of a particle, but when you look at it in other ways, consider other behaviors, it seems like a wave. Well, light is maybe both a particle and a wave, and maybe something else, but you can base your predictions of what it will do based on what kind of behavior you're considering. And my belief about God is the same, that sometimes God's behavior is seen as personal or immanent, and sometimes it's remote or transcendent, like it can be both or even more. I've had experiences of the divine that were personal, like communications between me and some other entity, so I can't deny that, but I've also had experiences of, and sometimes thoughts about God, that fall in the transcendent camp. For example, one of my root intellectual beliefs is that the same relationship that exists between each cell of our body and the body as a whole is the same relationship that exists between each of us and this bigger thing that we sometimes call God or goddess or whatever. And by that I mean that each cell has the DNA that spells out the whole of the body, the structure, characteristics of the entire body. It's right within each cell. But still, there is no way for the cell, from its limited perspective, to see, to understand, to comprehend the body as a whole. And again, I'm not saying this is a metaphor, but the same relationship. And this relates to the lessons of the branch of physics called chaos theory, and fractals and self-similarity, etc. It's the same thing, the same relationship, the same physical law applied between us and this big thing. And, you know, I'm hesitant to apply a name, God, to it, because language can and often does distort and distract, but that's one of the conveniences of being Quaker, based more on my experience and silence than on words. So, would the two of you care to have a united assault on me and my theological perspective?
One of the main differences between my view and Judith's, to start there and then get to yours, is that I experience the divine power as a loving and understanding presence. So that for me, the idea that the arms of the Great Mother, which is the metaphor I choose to use, embrace me in all of life, it makes sense. And when I think of the prayer that Judith used early, as we bless the source of life, which has been put out in a song by the Jewish feminist community, by Faith Rogo, as we bless the source of life, so we are blessed. I think of the source of life as a loving mother, shall we say. But for me, those are metaphors, but those are the metaphors that are meaningful to me. For me, that experience is very much, it's within my daily life. It's a feeling that I have in my body and in my interaction with the world. And I can reflect on that and talk about that, but that is sort of a bedrock position or feeling or belief that I have. I also resonated very strongly with what you said, Mark. And I don't know if you've read the philosopher Charles Hartshorne, who is not one of my physical teachers, but certainly one of the mentors whose work I hold very dear. Hartshorne speaks of the world as the body of God, and I might speak of the world as the body of Goddess. And the world would include not just the earth, but the whole universe. To put it in simple terms, which are probably a little too simplistic, the divine power is the consciousness or the mind, but not the mind in a mind-body dualism way, of the world, which is the divine body. And Hartshorne uses the analogy of the relationship of the person to the cells of his or her body. As we kind of alluded to earlier in the discussion, the cells of our bodies are part of an organic whole that makes up our body, mind, self, but they're also independent of the conscious control of, they can somewhat be influenced by the mind or the consciousness of the individual, but they're also working independently. So that's an interesting model for the relation of goddess or God to the world, that there's a relationship that's very intimate, and yet there is an interdependence of the parts from the whole, and an independence as well as an interdependence.
And I also don't have any problem with a duality of God, a personal, impersonal goddess, or God, whatever the word is, because I'm very aware as a physicist, there is a reality to the table that's right in front of me. I look at it and I see table and I can put things on it. I have a relationship with it. I can fall and hit my head on it. And I also know that it's mainly made up of space and, you know, molecules and quarks and various other components, electrons, protons. That's a reality of it as well. And one reality does not deny the other. It just depends on where I sit in relation to the thing, what I experience. So I've had direct experience of the divine that's communicating with me and these other experiences, which you would call more of the non-personal variety.